In Allentown, Pennsylvania, there's a red brick building with a green door. 12 families live there. They're almost all single moms with kids, and they were all at one point homeless. They're part of a program called Turner Street. It's 2 years long, and its purpose is to give these families everything they need to pull themselves out of poverty. The program is one of thousands across the country that operate under a certain assumption that many people who end up homeless don't know how to take care of themselves, and they need to be taught. This idea has fallen out of favor with the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development. We wanted to see what one of these programs looks like on the ground. So Keystone Crossroads reporter Marielle Segarra has been following three women since January as they make their way through Turner Street. She'll tell us their stories and examine a question the program raises. When people are homeless, how much help do they need?
On a January afternoon, Michelle Andrews put her infant son in a carrier car seat, gathered her two daughters, and hurried out the door of their apartment.
They're like, why are we running through the snow, like hiding? And I'm like, we're just playing hide and seek.
They wandered around Allentown for hours.
And I was scared to call my family because the one thing he would always say is whoever you call for help, that he would hurt them.
He was her partner at the time, and she says he was abusive. Michelle spent the next year renting out rundown rooms in Allentown. She shared a bed with the kids, but they didn't all fit the regular way, so they slept sideways with her son, Gabe, on her chest.
And from having my knees bent for so long, every single night, my knees got messed up because I guess you're not supposed to really sleep like that.
Against the odds, Michelle started college classes, and she enrolled in a program called Turner Street. Most government-funded housing programs provide housing, but nothing more. Turner Street is different. It's called transitional housing, and it offers affordable apartments to parents who are in school full-time. Residents also get a caseworker, free food, household items, and after 2 years, a voucher for a private apartment. In exchange, they have to follow strict rules and keep up their grades in school. Michelle, who's 28 now, remembers her move-in day.
I, literally fell to my knees and was crying, and the lady was like, all right, we gotta, sign the lease, the lady for the housing.
The point of this program is to help residents become self-sufficient. Alan Jennings is the director of the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley, the nonprofit that runs Turner Street. He says self-sufficiency often comes down to getting vocational training or a college degree.
We want to give them the time and the space to be able to do that so at the end they can get a job that's meaningful, that pays the bills, and hopefully they'll never be in crisis again.
Deja Frischman's crisis came early. She got pregnant in March of her junior year of high school. She'd been dating her son's father for about a month. They fell in love fast.
We didn't talk about having a baby, but I don't know if I would call it a mistake either. We just kind of let it happen.
Deja dropped out of school, and things went sour with her ex, so she moved around, crashing with her mom, her grandmother, and a friend.
It was just too much, and it's like, that's too many different faces, too many different homes, too many different beds. I can't have my son living like that.
She moved into a shelter and then applied for a spot at Turner Street. She saw it as an escape from a future she desperately didn't want.
I don't want to have to be that mom that has to work two jobs and can't, spend time with her child and my son. I love him. He's a blessing. I want to be able to watch him grow.
There was no guarantee she'd get in. Government housing assistance is typically awarded based on a person's income. If you're under the threshold, you get on a wait list and hope a spot opens up. But transitional housing programs are more exclusive, with a lot of requirements and often an interview process to see if you're worthy. Alan Jennings again.
I've said many times, you can't help somebody that doesn't want to help themselves. And so, the idea here is to put the resources that we can into people who we think can benefit and, hope and pray that it indeed does make that difference.
This approach is the opposite of the federal government's current policy on homelessness called Housing First, which says everyone is ready for a home, regardless of his or her situation. The government says providing housing without other services is usually cheaper and more effective. In fall 2015, Deja moved into Turner Street with her one-year-old son, Omari. She planned to get her GED and then start college classes in Allentown. Within a few days, she'd gotten two violations. At Turner Street, there's a system where if you get four violations, the program can, and often will, ask you to leave. You can get them for a lot of things: drinking alcohol, doing drugs, missing a meeting, even having a messy apartment. Alan Jennings says the program holds the residents to these high standards because when people who've been homeless are given housing and nothing else, it doesn't always work out so well.
We end up with people trashing apartments. They might not pay their rent. They might be noisy. They might not be keeping their place clean. They get cockroaches.
There's a paternalism to programs like Turner Street, an idea that if you ended up homeless, you don't know how to take care of yourself, and it's the program's job to teach you. Deja's two violations, for leaving food in her old fridge and for missing a meeting, wouldn't be her last. Kira Cornwell moved into Turner Street around the same time as Deja. Her life unraveled when she lost her job at the Lehigh Valley Business Journal and her car broke down. She enrolled in classes at Penn State's Lehigh Valley campus. But when her unemployment benefits ran out and she couldn't pay her rent, she and her 4-year-old son, Martin, got evicted. Then a counselor at school told her about Turner Street, and she got in.
It was one of the best feelings of my life to know that my son was not going to be homeless.
Kira, who's 31, moved into the program's shelter to wait for her apartment to open up. Like Michelle, she cried a lot that day, but they weren't happy tears.
I felt so ashamed of myself because I felt I could do better, and I felt like I failed Marty in so many ways.
Then she brought Martin into the room, and he was excited. He called it their summer vacation house.
He made it okay to be there. He made it okay because he knew that this was just temporary, and he knew that we were going on to bigger and better things.
Kira and Martin moved into their new apartment in the fall of 2015. And for a while, things went well. She was saving up money to buy a new car. But a few months later, she's in crisis. She's sitting on the couch in her living room, trying to get Martin to go play in his room. Every few minutes, he pops his head in.
Yes. Go back in your room, babe.
Yeah, I want to stay with you.
Just give me a few more minutes, and then you can come back out. And you can also have the applesauce in a few minutes. But you have to go back in your room.
Nope.
Kira and her ex-husband share custody of Martin. She gets him 4 nights a week. But as she's been trying to tell me in the living room, that's about to change. A judge just granted primary custody to her ex, which means come August, Kira will be seeing less of Martin.
How do I explain it to Marty? How do I explain, no, you can't sleep at mommy's house during the week anymore?
One of the reasons given for that decision was Kira's instability. When she couldn't afford housing, she moved a bunch of times, got evicted, and even ended up at the shelter. But now she's at Turner Street, where she's getting all kinds of support. The program's director, Christine Blasco, testified at the custody hearing.
I was there to prove that Turner Street was somewhere that this mother finally could be safe and had a place.
That wasn't enough. And that might be because Turner Street is transitional housing, where residents face a ticking clock with only a certain amount of time to get on their feet. At Turner Street, it's 2 years. To a judge, that can look unstable. The judge on Kira's case didn't respond to requests for comment. The thing is, like other transitional housing, Turner Street also has strict eligibility rules. It requires residents to have 51% custody of at least one child. So, ironically, the new custody order means Kira has to leave.
And all of the wonderful benefits I get from being here, I will have to forfeit.
The federal government is moving away from transitional housing, partly because it's seen as a temporary fix. A lot of people don't make it through these programs. Out of 40 families who enrolled in Turner Street over the last 5 years, 13 have dropped out or been kicked out. 18 have graduated. Kira is hoping to appeal the judge's decision. In the meantime, she's got classes to go to, and she ends up taking Martin. She's walking through the campus on her way to her microeconomics class.
I swear, he siphons sugar off while I'm sleeping. Martin.
Outside the classroom, they make a deal.
I'm going to let you watch cartoons on my phone because I know how much they mean to you. But you have to use the headphones.
I will.
And you have to be quiet.
I will.
Not like last week.
After class is over, we duck into the office of Kira's professor, Robert Wolf. Right now, he's one of the only adults she can really talk to. Wolf tells her she's setting an example for Martin by going to school.
Even though it is not easy, mm-hmm. It can be painful, it can be a lot of work, and there are times when you just want to throw up your arms and say, I can't do this anymore.
In theory, the point of transitional housing programs like Turner Street is to give residents what they need to become self-sufficient. But in practice, resources are stretched thin. The caseworkers aren't licensed therapists. Residents often end up relying on professors like Wolf for emotional support. Turner Street can't afford to pay for residents' legal help either. Kira used up her savings to hire a lawyer for the custody case. And since she can't pay him anymore, going forward, she'll have to represent herself. Meanwhile, back at Turner Street, Deja Frischman is having a moment. It's spring 2016, and she's laying on her side on her living room couch. A tattoo artist she met on Facebook is tattooing her son's name, Omari, on her ribs.
Oh, hell no! Oh, hell no! Oh.
Omari, who's just over a year old, watches from his playpen.
Don't laugh, Omari!
Deja just got her GED and started college classes, but she's also one step away from getting kicked out of the program. She has three violations, for leaving food in her old fridge and for missing two meetings. She says she's starting to lose hope.
If you're just going to keep giving me a violation for every time I make a mistake and I can only get four violations in 2 years, then I feel like you're not really here to help me. Like, and that's what I'm thinking, that you're here to help me. You know, there's a reason why I got into this program.
This is a point of contention about transitional housing programs. Critics say the rules are too strict and set people up to fail. But Deja's caseworker, Robbie Matthews, says the rules are there for a reason.
Wherever we go in life, there are rules. You're driving down the street, you have to stop. Why? Because there's a stop sign.
The point is to prepare residents, many of whom aren't used to following rules, for their lives after Turner Street. It's kind of like how we teach children their actions have real-world consequences. But residents of Turner Street are adults. To Matthews, that's beside the point.
So you're an adult, but you're homeless. So there are components to why you became homeless. And I think one of our jobs is to at least help facilitate that not happening again.
This paternalism sets transitional housing apart from other housing programs, like Section 8, which gives people vouchers to rent apartments from private landlords. The federal government says this generally works better than transitional housing. But vouchers have their own shortcomings. Turner Street gives them to its residents after 2 years. Thing is, getting a voucher doesn't mean you'll get an apartment. Michelle Andrews gets her voucher when she's a semester away from an associate's degree in psychology at Lehigh Carbon Community College. On a spring day, she's at the playground with the kids, daydreaming about a house they just visited.
During the summer, we're going to have like barbecues in the back, and I already saw like where we're going to hang little lights. I could just see us being there and being comfortable.
But she's trying not to get her hopes up.
When you're looking for houses, it's like a hit or miss. Most people don't like dealing with Section 8.
Housing vouchers come with added costs and inspections, and some landlords just don't want to rent to people who get public assistance. The dream house falls through, and Michelle's search continues for months. In May, she tours an apartment in Slatington, Pennsylvania. She seems to hit it off with the landlord, who even recommends a local pizzeria.
Sal's Pizza Place is right across the street. They have the best pizza.
Oh, okay, good.
Then they start talking about the housing voucher.
You have a voucher from Emmaus or from Allentown?
Allentown.
There's a misunderstanding, and things get testy.
It's Allentown Housing. That's where I live now. It's
I understand that, but there's two different offices, and they have different roles. So do you go to the one on Emmaus?
Yes.
Okay. When I asked you which one you go to, if you went to the one in Allentown, you said yes. So, okay. That's fine.
The landlord gives her an application, and Michelle gathers her papers and leaves. Back in the car, she drives away from the house.
As soon as people like see that you have a voucher, they act like you have a third grade knowledge. Like, you get questioned so much, and then, like second-guessed, and then, like...
But she says she's been looking for so long that if this apartment works out, she might have to take it. Meanwhile, things aren't going so well for Kira, either. She can't afford to pay a lawyer to file the appeal. In May, she leaves Turner Street and moves into an apartment in Beach Creek, Pennsylvania, 2.5 hours away from Allentown, with her boyfriend Adam, who got a job nearby. She gives me a tour of the apartment.
And I'm very excited about this room because this is Martin's room.
It's huge. You can ask Adam. He spends a lot of time in here playing and just terrorizing the floor space.
Adam or Martin?
Martin does.
Kira and Adam just got engaged, and she seems happy in a way. It's easier to get by here, with cheaper rent than she might find in Allentown. But the new custody order means she's seeing Martin less than before.
Once I have a job and I have a car and I have a little bit more quote-unquote stability, I'm going to get back into the fight for Marty.
Kira says Turner Street helped her get back on her feet. But she thinks the program should focus more on support and less on rules.
Coming in and touring my house every week to figure out if I'm cleaning enough, that doesn't help me as much as saying, hey, once a week, why don't you instead go see a counselor and we can see what else we can do for you? Because getting someone into a home doesn't necessarily mean they are going to thrive.
The great irony is that's exactly what these programs are trying to do, to provide more than a bed. In September, Kira's ex-husband takes her back to court. He petitions for more custody of Martin because she moved so far away. He has a lawyer, she doesn't, and he wins. At the same time, Deja has managed to hang on and even turn things around. Walking to her apartment on a sunny June day, she tells her caseworker, Robbie Matthews, some good news.
I'm not buying packs of cigarettes no more.
Oh, give me a hug. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, me and Robbie are very close. She's like my motivator, but she's like a mentor at the same time. Like, she's like a mom. She's a lot of things.
There are still moments when Deja doesn't do what she's supposed to. She shows up late to class or leaves her apartment messy, but then Matthews gives her another chance. This is what it's like when the relationship between caseworker and resident works. Deja hopes to finish the program and get an apartment outside the city until she graduates from school. Michelle could tell you that's easier said than done. Her search went on for months. Eventually, she found an apartment in Catasauqua, Pennsylvania, with two floors and a backyard.
Out of the apartments that I have went to look at, this one was like my absolute favorite.
But even though the landlord wanted to rent to her, there were inspections and bureaucracy.
And weeks would go by. My house was like all packed up and I was ready to go.
In July, it finally happened. They got the apartment. Soon after, Michelle and her 4-year-old son, Gabe, showed me around.
This is our little porch. I love it. I finally got to put my wind chimes up.
Michelle thinks there are ways Turner Street could improve. But she's also about to finish an associate's degree in psychology, and she says she couldn't have done it without the program. The federal government says the way to end homelessness is to give people somewhere to live. Without all the rules and requirements that make people drop out of programs like Turner Street, it's cutting funding for a lot of transitional housing programs. For now, Turner Street's funding is safe. Meanwhile, Kira is still trying to get back custody of her son. Deja's trying to move forward. And Michelle and her kids finally have a permanent place they can call home. Marielle Segarra, Keystone Crossroads.